All right. Well, she's on another phone call, so she'll jump in later, probably maybe.
Yeah.
That's all right.
That means
the A-team's on.
You and I are in the driver's seat for this bullshit.
You're damned right.
Now, I got to say this up front.
Okay.
I got to say this up
front. Let me know when you're starting to actually record.
I probably will at any time. I'll probably
okay.
cut it out.
And we're live. So.
And we're live. I'm not going to do the whole Bill O'Reilly cliche thing. Like, anytime somebody says anything about live, because I don't know. It's too cliche. And let's just start. Let's just start. Okay. I want to start with this. I'm going to spend a minute on this. And you can clip this out. I'm a dumbass. I do not have media credentials. I barely know anything Cyclone football history. I am a fan. Kevin is a fan. Tyler's a fan. We don't know really anything. So all of this stuff is our opinion. So when I go on Twitter and I say something, and I know I'm a representative of the school, and I have a lot of recruits that follow me.
Yep.
So I'm very careful about calling out an individual player. First of all, I respect these guys, and I've interviewed some of them on the podcast, so I respect them even more now. So I'm very rarely going to call out an individual player, unless it's something positive.
Right.
I'm not so careful about the coaches because they're big boys. People like Tom Manning and John Haycock make $1 million a year. Why the fuck would they care what I have to say?
Sure.
And usually it's going to be positive. Usually I want us to do good. I always want us to do good. But if I think something's up or I think there's some bullshit going on, don't think I'm a Cyclone Media member. Don't think Kevin's a Cyclone Media member or anybody on this podcast. We're just fans. We're homers.
Yeah, this was getting into a talk that we had the other day about you start wondering how many people start treating your broadcasts and your Twitter account and everything as if it was Randy Peterson from the Des Moines Register or Chris Williams from Cyclone Fanatic or anything like that.
Well, you too.
And bullshit.
Well, people are probably thinking like, well, Kevin said we're going 11-1.
Because we fucking like, are.
Kevin doesn't have an AP vote.
We are. Sorry. We just wasted our mulligan.
We waste our mulligan. Get into that in a minute, but like if you're listening to this and you're listening for in-depth analysis. Well, we'll try to give our in-depth analysis. But if you're listening to your cookie cutter, like yep. G-rated, come here for your NPR type show. This ain't it. This is total homer talk, and we might get a little rough around the edges sometimes.
Sure. I had somebody on Saturday explain to me why the clock keeps running inside the 2-minute mark.
Yeah.
I had to sit down with him for a second because I thanked him for basically telling me in the very polite way that I needed to just quit screaming about how the clock was running. but he didn't understand why it made sense either. It's like, why on a passing play where the receiver runs out of bounds, the clock doesn't just stop and stay stopped? I don't know.
Now, I have a question for that person.
But that's part of what's fun about going to the games for real. If anybody isn't a regular attendee of games and lives within 2 hours of the stadium, that's some of the fun is you end up talking with people that you'll never talk to if you weren't in the stadium hollering at the team and stuff. And that's what I enjoy.
If you have the expendable income, it's definitely something that you want to do. Just come out to the games as much as you can. Now, don't spread yourself thin and have your significant other tell you how stupid you are because you're taking food off the table. But if you have the ability to, absolutely do, because that's where that's where the fans are that like are super passionate, and they're up by where we are. They're not down on the 50. lower bowl.
No. This, yeah, we're in there where the real folk are.
We're in the rowdy. Yeah.
It's perfect.
And like the question I have for the clock operator, you're probably an Iowa State fan. Why are you running the clock? Just do it wrong. Make those stupid officials tell you to run it.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't
clock have come operator, yet. Please start on our count. Okay. Why are you running it?
That crew probably would have missed it.
They would have missed it. They're not paying attention.
I'm still – it's a good thing we didn't record on Sunday because my voice was
– Well, I guess we didn't record on Sunday. We recorded on Saturday night.
Yeah, it was Saturday night. It didn't
that was – well. So it – for the people who want to hear it, it was a lot of somebody bitches for 30 seconds and then we pause for 30 seconds and then somebody, because we're like, do we want to do this
with a bunch of my kids jumping in and out during the thing too.
Yeah, and your little is flicking us all off to show us that she has a cut on her middle finger.
Well, she did have a cut on her finger.
She did. She doesn't know what that is, even though she saw her father and her.
By the way, remember when remember in the first game when I was talking about how we fixed the cell phone coverage?
Yeah.
They've changed the distribution of the bandwidth. They have to have. Because US Cellular has gone right back down the toilet. When we had those back-to-back penalties. And there we are sitting waiting for Tweedledee and Tweedledum to talk to each other. I popped my phone up to see what was going on. And I see Derek Duke say something about, they call this unnecessarily roughness. And so I tried to throw up a picture of me giving the field the middle finger. And it took 5 minutes for that thing to go through. But anyways.
Since this new season, I've had great reception out in the tailgates. I've had great reception around the stadium, like on the concourse and stuff. When you get in the bowl and the stands, that's where my reception has always been bad for this whole year. I have not had reception the whole year in the stadium at my seat. It's when I go to the bathroom, when I do this, that, and the other thing around there on the concourse, or when I go out to the tailgate, I've had great reception. It's when I'm in the bowl. So like every time I'm like, well, should I go to a bathroom break just so I can check my phone?
In the stadium, it really doesn't bother me that much. Sure. I'm used to not having it. So, and you're, oh, yeah, and you're there to, yeah, you're not there to check, to stare at your phone. You're there to watch a game.
No, I'm there to tell the refs what I think of them.
That's right.
I'm shocked that like we haven't gotten to the point yet as Iowa State fans that somebody runs on the field and does it for Matt Campbell.
I thought he was going to get ejected in that first quarter.
Oh, man.
And I wanted him to.
Oh, no.
At that moment in time, I wanted him to. When he called that timeout just so that he could give a guy a piece of his mind.
He's going to throw a chair one of these days. So maybe not him, one of the coaches. Just like, I'm tired of this bullshit. It's a tackle. That's a tackle.
Why don't we do this?
What are we doing?
So I spent Sunday, all day Sunday, just completely. So Saturday we're at the game. Like I just said, terrible cell phone signal and everything. Stayed in the parking lot, hung out for a while. Had a nice meal with a bunch of kids for Tyler's 30th birthday.
Yep.
And then went home and tried to do a recording that didn't work out either, but it was a pretty good Saturday apart from the on-field performance that we had. Then Sunday, I just kind of, that was my Sabbath. Yeah, needed a day of rest. I completely unplugged from Iowa State stuff and kind of enjoyed that. So I haven't watched the game back or anything. And I was getting around to kind of feeling good about the idea of we just lost to the defending Big 12 champions in a, it was not a landslide of a game. Baylor fans can say whatever they want about how they were the better team and that they clearly deserve to win by more than 7 points and blah, 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 like they're going to say, which is what I would say if we won. Mm-hmm. I guarantee I'd say that. I probably have a number of times. But what I think is that we've shown here that we can hang and should have won against the top end of this cluster of a conference. And so it still is all hanging in the balance. Remember in 2020, we beat Oklahoma. Who was the Big 12 champion that year? Oklahoma. So all we got to do is get our revenge in Dallas. That's easy enough. Done. Dusted. Solve that riddle. Now here's the caveat. I'm going to try playing a little audio courtesy of our friends at Learfield.
The cycle, then I'll tell, then I'll tell you why I differ from your opinion.
All right.
Go ahead.
This is what changes. This will change a mood.
State's defense, can he get off the field? You know, third and six, a passing situation for a lot of teams. Baylor likes to run it in this situation. Listen to this crowd. Get into it early. They're down at six from the 39. Three receivers right, one left. Chapin, and they're going to stop play here. Was there a timeout? I don't know. Potential fumble on the last play? Potential targeting. Oh, potential targeting. Okay. Oh, boy. And we said it was Reeder and Freeler in on the stop, so it would probably be one of those two. We'll have to take a look and see if we can get a good look at a replay up here in the
booth. Just soak it in.
Man, you'd hate to lose either one of those guys. Ooh.
Doesn't that just bring you right back to Saturday?
On this Iowa State defense. We're waiting to see some kind of replay. Michael Vandeveld is the referee today. Oh, both Freeler coming in from the side. I got it. That's as far from targeting. I mean, that's just a regular football tackle. But that's
that's our opinion.
That first angle we saw anyway. That is a regular football tackle.
Are we playing flag football here?
I don't see anything there myself, but I mean, it is tackle football.
Exactly, John. It is tackle football.
It's the pussification of this sport. And here's what I'll tell you. You watch guys like Taylor Mays. You watch guys like that guy at West Virginia. I forget what his name is. Back like these guys at the turn of the decade from like
his decision, Gene Simcoe or
two. Are you still playing it?
I am.
Okay. Well, you have like the guys.
So Bo Freeler,
I think,
missed the last game. What's a rep like? I can't even hear. Bo Freeler, who missed the last game with injury, and very it looks like the Big 12 championship game. Oh, Matt Campbell. He's had it. He is really upset. And you can complain to the official referee all you want. He doesn't make the call, but that is bogus.
It only gets better from there, the very next play. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me talk about this.
Yes.
So I understand why targeting is a thing, and everybody's going to be having the same conversation, but it's the classification of the sport. You did have guys like Taylor Mays and whoever that West Virginia guy was in like 2011, 2012, the really good one. And then you had a couple other guys that just annihilated dudes. Barron from Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
All these dudes who it's just like, if they hit you in the head, you're going to get CTE. no matter what.
But yeah, and I remember those, like the flying spears where they would just launch.
But it's like the refs don't remember a day and age where that shit was weekly.
Yeah.
Where that shit happened every game. A dude got knocked the fuck out.
And did I complain for targeting on every single Baylor tackle the rest of the first half? Absolutely I did. Did I think that they deserved to get kicked out of the game and a 15-yard penalty thrown on them? No, I was pissed that some bullshit, normal run-of-the-mill play that just happens in the game of football got arguably our best guy on the defensive side of the ball kicked out of the game in the first drive against the home opener playing Baylor, the defending Big 12 champion.
I mean, and this is what I was going to talk about. Like, you said that, like, we were right in there with them. At halftime, yes, I agree that we were right in there with them. And I'm going to call you out here for a second. I'm going to – whatever. You missed the first half of the third quarter.
Yep.
It fucking – man. We'll talk about that in a second. But, like, there was a big gaping hole for most of that game right in the middle. Am I calling any particular player out? No. They thought Bo was going to be there for 60 snaps of it.
Yeah.
But that fucking Baylor defender standing in the end zone waiting for that trick fucking play. He's just standing there as the ball soars through the air. And you knew when Blake Shapen threw that, you're just like, fuck, it's a touchdown. Yep. You knew it was going to happen. You're just like, yeah, that guy's wide open in the end zone. It's a touchdown.
All you could hope for at that point was that the play was too easy and that he'd fuck it up.
And he fucked it up. And he fucked it up.
But yeah. He didn't.
And like, and he does something stupid like that. Because that's the only thing that dumb that could happen. And that's some Paul Rhodes-ish right there. Leaving a guy wide ass open. And right then and there, I was like, it's 31-14. They're the better team. And they're the better team because we got our best player on defense knocked out.
And who the fuck saw that coming?
Saw what coming?
What have I said enough times to probably make it? I probably jinxed it, is probably what really happened. Is Iowa State's down less than a touchdown at halftime, we're going to win. We're down three at halftime after all that mess.
Everybody was texting me, oh, we're going to win this game. We should not be in it, and we're down three. And I thought so too. But we put up a stinker of a third quarter.
Yep, there it came.
There was a fucking stinker.
And here again, preface this, I have not rewatched the game. Why? I don't really want to. I kind of wanted to, but I don't. And so I don't know in that third quarter and on, but I have suspicions that Baylor made the obvious adjustment, and that was, where would Bo be? Let's go there with the ball.
Oh, they were making that. They were making that in the second.
Took
quarter,
full too. Advantage of a bullshit call. And I don't care, Baylor fan. I don't care if you can say after four quarters you were clearly the better team. That should not have even been the case. You should have been down 14 at the end of the first half.
Yep.
Prove me wrong. Talk about our questionable touchdowns at the end of the game. I don't care about that. That doesn't matter. The ship has already sailed. The first half fucked up the game.
The first drive
completely fucked the game.
We're 3 minutes into the fucking game.
And so, yeah, you can say typical Iowa State fan complaining about the officials. You did not get one of your key players ejected from the game in the opening drive again in recent memory, followed up with a stupid, unnecessary roughness call just to keep a drive alive for this team called Baylor. I mean, what I was barking this enough times. I understand this. I don't accept this. I understand this when it's Texas. I understand this when it's Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. When it's Baylor, no offense, Baylor, you're on the same level as us and everybody else. I'm used to Texas and Oklahoma getting the homer calls. I absolutely am disgusted when I see somebody like a team like Baylor getting the benefits of the doubt like this.
We're into our fucking stadium and get
at home. And then to wrap that up with Anthony Johnson getting a chop block call.
That's the dumbest shit.
And it keeps drives alive that end in touchdowns.
It's the dumbest shit I've ever seen.
Keeps drives alive. Those were dead drives. They were done.
Done.
They were done. And now tell me that 17-14 doesn't mean something at halftime.
No, we are probably up, I don't know, seven. We're probably up 17 or 21 to 10.
Yeah.
At half. Yeah.
Yeah, so tell me Baylor's the better team. Whatever. I agree to disagree. You just got lucky as fuck, and that dictated the other half of the game.
I don't disagree with you there. I will say this. It was 17-14,
right,
which is and we get the ball back, which is basically you're starting over.
Yeah, and then
you got to go do something with it. You can go out. You can either take the lead or tie on your first drive, and you did fuck all.
Right.
This is what you did. You did a 1 yard run. Whoop-de-doo. I can't even remember what the first play was. It was one play. It was a 1 yard play. Maybe. Whatever.
I feel and like then, I would have maybe remembered what the first play was if us folks in the common concourse sections could buy beer.
Yeah. Can we buy that's another conversation. That's another conversation.
We'll save that for a bye week, but
we'll save that for bye week. We need beer in the stadium. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'll just say this real fast. I don't want to turn it into a thing, but how much more full would the stadium have been at the beginning of the third quarter in this important game? Me included. I was jogging back. I get it. Maybe I have a dependency. Who knows?
Well, you wanted brisket.
Well, yeah, I did get a taste of that brisket. It was pretty good. But instead of loosening up my belt and throwing two beers behind my back pockets, I could have just bought a couple of $8 beers while I was in the stadium, enjoyed the marching band. I like watching the band. I don't watch them when I'm running out to the parking lot to say hello to a few friends. No. And then come back with my kids, whatever. And so let me buy an overpriced beer, please.
It's long overdue.
Yep. And then I'd be able to see the opening drive.
I would say, would you say that there was 60,000 people at that game?
Yeah.
I would probably say at the beginning of the third quarter, there's probably 40,000 people in their seat.
Because everybody's doing the same thing as us.
Everybody's going out to their car and getting a beer.
Yeah. I'm not that hard up. I bought the funnel cake. I bought all that junk.
They'll pay for the beer. It's beer. We'll pay for it.
Exactly right.
Tell them they can't go out to the parking lot.
I'll say thanks.
You can buy your beer in here.
I'll say thanks, but no thanks to those $9 lemonades that a guy has on his head. But I'll say, okay, I'll have two of them if it was a beer.
Yeah, spike that lemonade.
Well,
let's go. But, like, that's the thing is I knew there's 40,000 people in there. I mean, there's definitely a lot of seats open.
Yeah.
We have this dud of a run. And then the next play, I don't know who called this play. I don't know what Hunter Decker saw. This had interception written all over it. They had it written all over it. Go back and watch this play. Go back and fucking watch this play. You will see. So I can't remember what yard line it is. I think it's the 30-yard line because we take a touchback. You have probably six defenders lined up on the 30-yard line. Six. So we're at our 26. They're all on our there's probably six defenders on their 30-yard line. So 4 yards back. We have two to the right, one slot guy, one wide, and then we have two tight ends on the line, hand in the dirt on the left side of the line, and Jirel in the backfield. Every guy makes their break. Well, the Baylor guys do not drop back very far. The route concept is every guy makes their break at the 30-yard line. The Baylor players are waiting for us to make our breaks there. It's like they're just waiting. They don't all drop back. One guy drops back, Sean Shaw's guy. And the play was not going to Sean Shaw. It went to X. And it's like, right, in the safeties don't even drop back. They knew we weren't going to go even to a medium route. They knew it was a short route play. I don't know how the hell they knew, but they knew. They knew we were going to throw it because it's 2nd and 9, and they knew it was going to be a short route for some reason. I don't know if we need to mix up the play calling or what. Yeah. What's that?
I said we must be tipping our hand in the film.
They must see something in our film, see something in how we call the plays, see something in our cards. I don't know. Maybe they tapped our wire. I don't know. But they knew, they sniffed that play out so fucking well. Where it's like, and that safety crashed down so freaking hard. X was never going to catch that. I don't know how. Hunter Deckers, maybe an older Hunter Deckers, audibles out of it. But they sniffed that out so well. It's like, of course they intercept it. Of course. Of course. And maybe, I don't know. I don't know who is to blame for that. Once me watching it back, it had interception written all over it. And that's what happened. And that's the end of the game right there. Once they got that interception, I knew they were going to march down the field and get a touchdown because they're right there. They're right there. And at that point, we were dead. Our sideline was dead. We went into halftime, riled up, and we were done. And we couldn't do jack shit for the rest of the third quarter. And then we had miraculous plays in the fourth quarter because they had already packed it up. They were up 31-14.
They were playing prevent, yeah.
Yeah, they were playing prevent.
We took
advantage of it.
See, now I missed, like I say, I missed some of that third quarter.
Yeah, it's infuriating.
And so I don't exactly know, but my gut reaction was, you know, a lot of shit got thrown at us in that first half. And the place was going.
And we endured.
The place was just going.
Yeah.
And so was it pure adrenaline and everything that was keeping these guys on the keeping these guys moving and making it happen? And then just a long halftime with you and your thoughts and things kind of just settling down, and then you come out to that third quarter start and have a hard time getting back up for it. I don't know.
I mean, the energy in that place was just dead. It was dead. I mean, when you came back, you weren't even, I mean, you came back in with like 7 minutes left, and there's still another 5,000 to 10,000 people who still need to come back to their seat.
Yeah.
It's going to be a problem.
I think that it's stupid. I'm not going to say that it's not stupid, but just letting people buy a light beer in the concourses will keep the crowd there.
They will. It will.
Absolutely. And it's admittedly, it doesn't make that much sense. Like, you'd think you spend that much money to see the game, you would want to be in your seats. But think about this for a second, armchair fan who does not go to the games. The parking lot is also a party, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's half the fun.
And so if you're some not years, going to bring the party into the concourses, then people will be tempted to want to go back out into the parking lot, like me, like many the other group people in our group who come more for the party in the parking lot than they do for the game.
I mean, shit, Allison, I don't think Allison's seen a second half this year.
That's a lie.
Every second half except for this last game.
Yeah.
You leave pretty early, though.
No.
I've actually not missed a second half except for this last
game. Nah, this last one.
It's the third game.
Well, two of the kids didn't want to go back in.
Yeah.
I saved you. You're welcome.
Yeah, she was playing mom. But I still maintain that might be more important than cell phone coverage. If you just had some beer sales.
You need people to get back to their seat. I mean, I don't care if you make the halftime an hour and a half.
Yeah.
You got to make sure that that place is rock. I mean, that was our thing that we talked about. I know we didn't have a show later in the week last week, but that was the thing that we were talking about at the game. Is like, we need that energy today. We don't have any energy. Like, it's been pretty dead for the Ohio game and the SEMO game. And immediately that crowd got riled up and it was back to what we knew.
Yeah. That first half, that felt like home. That felt like home. That was the first game this season where I honestly lost my voice. And who knows, maybe cussing at the refs, I wouldn't have. It probably would have come regardless.
I mean, that's what I looked at you at right after he got ejected, it was right after the Colby Reader thing. And everybody's cussing and we're all pissed off. And I look at you, I'm like, the energy's back. I knew that we were gonna stay in that game because everybody's mad. And then everybody left at halftime.
Yep. That was worst case scenario. Was our half. I bringing this back about me.
Mm-hmm.
The Pollard and Light District looks great. You want to win trophies? You want to be a Big 12 champion?
Yep.
Sell me a $10 beer.
Yep.
I'd prefer an $8 beer, but sell me a $10 beer.
Yeah.
It's whatever funny. Works. It's funny. It really is. But just think how much more energy would have stayed in the stadium. But that's not the case this season. So we gotta manufacture it ourselves. The place.
I know you are in the camp that you believe that you as a fan affect the game.
Oh yeah.
That the crowd affects the game. And I'm in that boat too.
They do.
I mean, we see it at Kinnick every fucking weekend.
Yep.
And it happened at Jack Trace all the time. Where that crowd affects the game. It's too daunting. Yep. It happens at Penn State all the time. It happens at LSU. That crowd affects the game. It gets too loud sometimes. They can't figure it out.
That guy, see, what we need to sort out. No offense to the guy that was right in front of me in the Baylor game. We can't be having fans that plug their ears. You should watch at home.
Oh boy. A little controversial there, but yeah.
Well, you can't.
I understand what you're saying. You're coming to a monster truck rally.
Hey, the guy that paid for the tickets was right next to him. The guy that paid for the tickets is right next to him. He comes regularly, and he doesn't have any problem with me screaming at everybody because he yells too. My thing is if you're going to enjoy the game in the stadium, be a part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you have to just look like an idiot. I'm just – all I'm saying is you can't sit with your arms folded
I know what you're saying.
You're just taking up space that someone well, else.
You got to sit there with me and Tyler at halftime.
you
got to come back.
I am trying to say that people should enjoy the game however they want to enjoy the game. Right. All I'm telling you is you're not benefiting the environment when you aren't participating with your actions.
Just the way that we this is a collective team effort,
right?
In what the way we win, we are just finally getting up to the level of Big 12 talent on our team. We just finally have the talent to compete within the Big 12, not compete, but like on par. Like this is like if Texas or Oklahoma had the talent that we have, they would cry.
If
Oklahoma State looks at our team and goes, that's pretty good. We're getting up to Texas Tech level. And guess what? These are the best guys we've ever had. And I think with their brain and the coaching, we will overcome a lot of adversity. We'll win a lot of games. Talent-wise, though, we are about on par with the Big 12. We're about West Virginia and Texas Tech. Now, I think we're better teams than them. We're a better team than them. But that's because of coaching and our preparation and the guys' uses of their brains. Talent-wise, we're about Texas Tech, West Virginia.
Sure.
Texas has a lot of Breece Halls. It's just a lot of guys that have Breece Hall talent but just can't get their act together. Bunch of head cases. I mean, look the meltdowns that they have.
Yeah, no, I'm waiting for it. It's coming. Well, it already did. They lost Texas Tech.
Now, Oklahoma, that might be the loss of the year for them. Texas, though, they got a lot more coming. Yeah. They're going to lose to Oklahoma, and they're going to pack it in. They're going to say, enough's enough. The best we can do is 9-3. Shoot, they might lose this weekend. The best they can do is 8-4. They might just pack it in, and Kansas will beat them again.
Shit, who does Texas have this weekend?
West Virginia.
Good.
I don't know if they're going to lose to West Virginia. I doubt it. But anyway.
If they lose to West Virginia, do you think they just fold up shop?
No, I think if they have to lose to Oklahoma first. If they lose to Oklahoma, it's going to be a long year for them. They're going to be calling for Steve Sarkisian. They're going to have more than just worrying about football, worrying about prepping for whatever game they have that week. So
I'm already seeing excuses about how the coaching staff and the players, their minds are all on the SEC, and it's just the sooner the sooner they leave, the better they'll be, because they're just overlooking this whole
thing. Anyway, to kind of wrap up the Baylor game.
Yeah, let's put a bow on this.
Here's what I have to say. I thought it's a tale of two halves. I'm proud of that team for fighting in the first half. And then the offense came out and just laid an egg. Just laid an ever-loving egg. And I don't know what would happen differently if we had Bo Freeler out there. I think that they would have had a lot less plays. I have a feeling that would be a lot more reminiscent of Oklahoma State last year, where it's two teams with that are fighting in the trenches.
Just trading blows.
Just trading blows. I have a feeling that's what it would have felt like. And then I think that we might have come out victorious and rushed the field because it's just a stupid game.
Yeah, that's kind of the drift I took out of it too, was it felt like it was stolen from me.
Yep.
It just felt like it was stolen from me, and I don't know what it takes to start hawking some of these officiating crews off of the Big Ten and the SEC. But this is just, it's a hard job being an official, especially with replays and high def TVs. And it seems like fans have more angles than the officials do, evidently.
Like, do the officials not know that, like, targeting gets a guy ejected.
What they need to do, and this is a tired argument, I get it. What they need to do is set two tiers of targeting call, just like how there used to be a lesser and more egregious tier for face mask. And let that let it settle it that way. Like, yeah, it's by the letter of the law, it's targeting. But is it really? No. Okay.
So I mean, that's what I was talking about a while ago. They put the targeting rule in because dudes were trying to kill each other.
Yeah, and so now, and but now there's now they're saying, well, by the letter of the law, it's like you wrote the fucking law, change the law. If you think it's stupid, then it's stupid.
It's the argument that my dad has with all like the MBA schools, the master's degrees for whatever business, where some of the colleges are very analytical and some of them are very like, I don't know, like very based on essay driven stuff of like scenario based, what would you do? There's no right answer type thing.
Right.
Like they're very like, the referees are like, okay, he's leading with the crown of his helmet and he's hitting the other guy in the head. Bam, bam. It's like, no, Bo Feeler is just trying to get a guy down. He's not trying to kill the dude. He's launching at the dirt. It's like, no, he's trying to tackle the dude. He might be launching. He might be doing whatever. He's not trying to take him out of the game with his own head. It's dumb. And these refs don't get it. They don't, and they also don't get that these are kids trying to go to the NFL. And if they don't have enough on their tape, they're not getting drafted and they're fucking these kids over. And it's because these stupid refs try to look like they're the smartest guys ever. So maybe one day they could coach a Big Ten championship game or something like that. Guess what, Michael Vandervelde? You're never going to do that because you're ass. And you fucked it up. You and your crew fucked up this one. You fucked up many other ones. And you're ruining it for a fan base. I mean, think about a guy bringing his kid to watch one game and they're on a budget and this is the one game that he gets to go to. Yeah. And the game gets fucked over because this guy's trying to look smart.
Yeah, that's my thing is, I mean, what kind of money does it honestly take? I get we're already at a deficit against a couple of other leagues. And so you're trying to stretch the pennies, but
I mean, my thing is call holdings all you want. Call face masks, shit. Even call pass interference if you want. Don't take a guy out of the game on a stupid tackle. Especially if you're not going to be consistent with it. It makes me so mad. Because I know a guy like Bo is working his ass off.
Yep.
And he's pissed off. I mean, shoot. I'm not going to get into what his injury was. I'm guessing he wanted to play the week after, and they told him he couldn't. And he's probably pissed off that he couldn't play. And he probably would have gone, even though he probably shouldn't have. And he's training, and he's busting his ass. He's getting great grades. He's on the all-academic team. And he just gets told, oh, well, it looked like you were going with your head, so we're going to take you out, even though you train all year for this shit. If I ever meet Michael Vandervelde, I'll spit in his face.
And he'll,
fucking dumbass.
And he'll wonder what the fuck that was all about and go about his day.
And I'll tell him, you're a piece of shit. You're terrible at your job, and that's why you're not a full-time ref. Man, it just kills me. It kills me. because he's not out there trying to hurt anybody. I don't know. Maybe I'm just going on too long. And everybody's like, we've heard about this so much. Can you talk about something else?
Yeah, I'll talk to you about something else.
Well, I mean, think about, like, you're building your car, like building a car. Okay, you've been building this for years. You've been building this car, and then the first time you turn the corner on your block, some dude just rams into you, and you're like, "Fuck." I've been working on that for years, and now I can't drive it. That's what Bo's feeling. He's been working all off season to be really good, and they fucked him over. Kills me.
Now, this...
Because that's what I think about. I think about the player and how pissed off they are for just trying to make a play.
Sure. And especially one that there's no obvious answer for it. I mean, that the last thing you want him to do is worry about getting a targeting call for that same sort of play again, because he's going to be needed to be in that position the multiple times over by the end of the season. It's just part of it. You know, you stick in there, you get the guy.
It's almost going to happen where a fan at some school, I'm not saying that you should do this, at some school, and it may not be Iowa State, it might be somewhere else. At some school, a fan will run onto the field and cuss out the ref because it's BS. It's stupid.
Now my last little thing.
Okay.
And I'm heated. It did not make or break the game, this particular sequence I'm going to mention.
Oh, no. What?
But at some point, it's probably going to, and somebody who's a better football mind than me, that doesn't take much to be a better one than I am, can tell me why I'm a damn fool. But on a clearly obvious running down, all you need is a yard. I don't know. Maybe it's first and goal on the two.
On the one.
Let's go. Let me read what play we went with in the fourth quarter. First and goal at the two.
We had multiple plays first and goal at the one.
I'm just picking this particular one because I found it on the stat sheet.
Okay, go ahead.
No huddle. Fantastic. No huddle. Get up there quick. We know exactly what we're going to do. First and goal, we're going to show them our nuts.
Yep.
Get between the guards. Slam it home. Nope. Shotgun. Hunter Deckers rushes to the right. What did we do? Lost 4 yards. Completely fucked up the whole series, didn't we?
Dumbest fucking play I've ever seen. Completely
fucked up the whole series, didn't we?
Dumbest fucking play I've ever seen.
What do we follow it with? We tried to pass to Dimitri Stanley, incomplete, then a false start. Thanks, Tyler Miller. And then the drive was fucked. What would have solved that?
Running it up the fucking that, Tom, middle.
Tom Manning, what would have under solved center. That? Get under center. Get under center. You got a moose for a quarterback. Do we have a good line? Do we have a good line? If we don't, then why aren't we fixing it?
It's maddening.
Get under center. Running back, slam your ass right into the back end of that quarterback, and let's move forward 6 inches. Come on. It's not that hard.
If you can't get a yard at the goal line, get off the field.
No, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. What sense does it make to get under out of the shotgun when you only need – what are we talking about? A yard and a half, 2 yards? You got 4 downs to do it because this is the fourth quarter of the game. It doesn't matter at this point. We're down multiple scores.
I'm so mad. I'm sorry. I'm so fucking mad.
No. It's you get there. It should be an automatic. If we're inside of 2 yards, we already know the play. Line up. Let's go. Don't even give the defense a chance to sub out. It's that simple. And we don't have to overcomplicate it and say that, well, not everybody does it, blah, 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 blah.
I appreciate
other people's ideas. I am just adamant that it doesn't have to be that complicated.
Here's what I have to say about this bullshit. And you know what? I'm going to wait a couple weeks until I start, you know, critiquing any coaching decisions and whatnot. Maybe a week. I don't know. Who knows what might happen?
Depends.
Who knows
what might happen? Any given day, yeah.
But this is what I have to say. If you don't trust Hunter Deckers and what's his name? Trevor Downing. Yeah. If you don't trust Trevor Downing against Siaka Ika, tell it to his face. Say, you know what, Trevor Downing? I don't trust you to be able to block Siaka Ika for a yard. I don't trust you and Daryl Simmons or Jared Hufford to push that dude back a yard to get a touchdown. Tell it to him. Tell it to him.
I mean, we'll say this.
If I know offensive linemen the way I do, they'd say, fucking watch me.
I'm not trying to drag a guy in the mud just to prove my point. But here I go anyways. We've handed the ball, or we've seen Jarrell Brock fumble twice crossing the goal line now, three games in the season. What difference would it make? Four games into the season.
Flying by.
What difference would it make just having the quarterback try and cross that goal line himself when we're inside of 2 yards?
Like a fucking man. We were talking about this last week.
Yeah, one of these plays that Jarrell lost the ball was not a goal line stand type of situation. I get
sure.
But I'm just saying, your bell cow running back, he has his issues just like everybody else does. And so why not just line up like men and just slam it down their throat? I think we are capable of it.
And I need a reporter or somebody in the Iowa State media to have the balls to ask somebody this.
Yeah.
Every week, because it happens every week.
Yeah. I just don't quite understand. And again, I don't know plenty of things about the game of football.
Because
that's something that doesn't need to be complicated.
Here's the people. The only people that care about if you don't get it on first and goal, running it up, doing a QB sneak on first and goal, the only people who don't care that you didn't get it are the people on the fringe who don't know shit about fuck. You and me will look at each other and go, at least we fucking tried. If it doesn't work, whatever. But guess what? You don't lose 4 yards on a QB sneak.
I'll say this much. If we would go under center, at least the people in front of me wouldn't have to listen to me turn towards our press box and scream, Manning, can you just get under fucking center? Like every time. It like clockwork.
Here's the thing.
We need inches. I'm screaming at the press box.
Most of the time we don't go under center. We get stuffed. We lose yards.
Yes, because the play takes too long to develop.
It takes too long to develop. They're all right at the goal line. What are we doing? It's overcomplicating it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm sure it works great for other teams doing all these fancy things. It doesn't, in my head, in my simple mind, we can keep things simple and just pound it. Pound it right between the guards. Right between the guards. It doesn't matter.
When I was part of a little.
And this doesn't make or break this particular game. The first half officiating.
I was part of a little incubator group for people, a lot of people with startup ideas and whatnot. And there was one guy in there who was a firefighter who wanted to work with people on his firefighter invention thing. It doesn't matter what he was doing. all you needed to know is he was a firefighter. The rest of the people were tech people. Okay. Yep. He told them his idea, and they thought, oh, okay, we got to go devise a plan and do this, that, and the other thing. And he was like, he's like, okay. And they were like, they were coming up with his whole business plan and doing all this other stuff. And then he said, how about I just go call him? Like, how do I just go call my customers and ask if they want it? And while they were like trying to come up with this whole new marketing campaign, whatever for him, and put like 10 people putting their minds together for him, he walked down in the hallway. We were in a meeting room. He walked down the hallway, called three of like his big customers, and they bought it. He sold $50,000 worth of stuff in a hallway while people were coming up with a marketing plan that didn't fucking matter.
Yep.
Why am I telling you this? Stop being smart. Stop trying to be smart and just fucking get the job done.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be pretty.
It doesn't have to be pretty. You go look out to the east. That is the most ugliest brand of football ever. Guess what? They won 10 fucking games last year.
I don't give them much credit for anything, but when they
win.
When they QB sneaked it, I want to say like 6 times in a row, that was pretty cool. But that's just me showing my QB sneak envy.
Yes. Petrus is good for nothing except that he's tall, and that works when you're QB sneaking. Get some leverage. Anyway.
Well, I'd say we pretty well beat this already.
Man, I have faith in this team. We'll talk about what we
next game.
Well, we're good here. We're good.
We'll get there. We'll talk about that later in the week. I have faith in this team. I think all these I know all these guys are ballers. Okay. Every single line, the cornerbacks, safeties, linebackers, they're all ballers. The ball didn't bounce our way this past week. And there's some questionable play calls and whatnot. And will we get more frustrated about it later in the season? Hopefully not. Hopefully we win a lot. Well, we come on here and go, oh, I'm getting bored because we're losing. I mean, we're winning so much, there's not much to talk about.
That sounds all right.
Yeah. However, losing doesn't help business because then people just stop caring. Apathy. But anyway.
Yeah, that works. Still got a shot at that 11-1 rematch against Baylor.
I think this is the first time like I actually like maybe have lost it a little bit.
Yeah, I think you did. You just got to bring it back around.
Like I said, got to cool down a little bit. Like I said, we are not media members. We are freaking homers. We just want our team to be good.
For me, it always takes till Tuesday. By Tuesday, then I start thinking about how we're going to beat the fuck out of the rest of the league. And I can already feel it coming around.
Starts with Kansas. We'll talk about that later, maybe on Wednesday night. I don't know.
Hey, should I click anyway, play guys, on this very next play? No, I don't want to hear it.
I can't take it anymore. I need to go to bed. Now my blood pressure's all up.
There we go.
I have a seizure. Not really. Don't worry.
Don't do that.
Can't joke about that. It happens.
No. I'll be fine. No, I take my medication. No, but anyway. All right, guys. Fucking hell. I'll see you guys later.
Go Cyclones.
Go Cyclones. Holy shit.